Welcome back to Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is still recovering from a severe back injury. He does appreciate your expressions of support and your good wishes. On June 26th of last year, just about a year ago, the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and by doing so, it makes some federal laws and regulations available to same-sex married couples, including federal estate planning benefits and a marital deduction. Others are not available, however. Also, it did not consider the constitutionality of another key provision of DOMA that allows one state to refuse to recognize same-sex marriages performed in another state. So where does this leave LGBT couples who married in another state but reside in Florida, where same-sex couples do not have the right to marry? Today we look at this complicated issue along with the importance of how and how-tos of estate planning for LGBT and other non-traditional couples in Florida. Joining us is attorney and LGBT advocate Elizabeth Schwartz from the law firm of Elizabeth Schwartz PA in Miami Beach. She's one of the attorneys who recently filed one of the lawsuits to overturn the same-sex marriage ban in Florida. Welcome to you, Elizabeth Schwartz.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Also, we welcome James Peppelman. He's the Certified Financial Planner, Senior Vice President and Wealth Director of PNC Wealth Management in Palm Beach County. And we thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Bonnie. Look forward to
Thanks so much. Elizabeth, so we're not only addressing same-sex couples or partnerships today, correct? Who else faces similar complications other, you know, that traditional married couples do not face?
All kinds of folks choose not to get married for all kinds of reasons. So many of the folks that I work with are intergenerational families, you know, an aunt raising a nephew, are heterosexual non-married couples who choose not to marry for a variety of reasons. So these are issues that touch on the unique family structures that exist today. And yes, LGBT folks have the added layer of homophobia to contend with. So there is that added piece to the conversation. But these are our tools and techniques that really anyone needing to manifest their intentions when it's otherwise than what the default of the law is, needs to worry about.
Okay, and if you could give us an overview of estate planning for same-sex couples in Florida, how has striking down DOMA changed the landscape? In what ways has it changed?
It's changed it in pretty major ways, and then in major ways it's really still the same. Indeed, you mentioned at the top of the show the very important benefit that we received from the Defense of Marriage Act's repeal, which is that we can file taxes jointly, which not only helps folks who are trying to file their income taxes jointly, but also it means that we can gift an unlimited amount of money to each other at life and at death without worrying about gift tax and estate tax, respectively. Now, that is a benefit that mostly is going to impact the higher net worth individuals. Right now, there's a lifetime exemption of $5.35 million. So anything below that one would seek to transfer to a partner, a same-sex married spouse, would not be subject to such taxation. But some of the benefits that we do see for folks at any level of means is the fact that you don't have to worry about gift tax means that if I want to transfer my home to my wife, and I want to put my wife in the deed, that's not a taxable event. I don't have to file a gift tax return for that. And that's something that we were having to worry about for a lot of couples, having to do some kind of creative acrobatics to make sure that we didn't have to worry about paying gift tax. But so what the Defense of Marriage Act repeal of the core Defense of Marriage Act, what it didn't help us with is the fact that we still have these state bans in place, and that's why we're working on it still here in Florida through the litigation, and there are several cases moving forward at the same time, and we're confident that there's going to be a win there. But in the meantime, what this means for couples that are married elsewhere or not married elsewhere is that you still need to worry about making your intentions known with respect to hospital visitation and inheritance, because those are things that are governed by the state. So in other words, the federal benefits that apply to marriage, that doesn't touch upon all of the many state benefits that are associated with marriage. So it's still critically important for folks to do their, you know, wills and trusts and living wills and healthcare surrogates.
Which we're going to get to
talk
all
more
those.
About. Absolutely.
Okay. And James, why must non-traditional partners in states that recognize same-sex couples or even issue marriage licenses to them still remain vigilant? You mentioned that. What legal protections and advantages do they still lack?
I would say that they just need to make sure that their intentions are always known. So I think wills are critically important, especially for same-sex couples, because generally, even though in some situations the legal system will begin to recognize some of the advantages that they're receiving through DOMA being struck down, I think they still have to make sure that it's known what it is that they want with regard to a will. So I think they just have to make sure that they stay vigilant. And also find a professional that keeps up with the changes in the law with regard to each state and at the federal level so that they can plan accordingly for those.
So speaking about the will, it's not only for those who have great wealth. It's you want to determine where whatever you have goes. But what else does a will specify in addition to who we designate is going to inherit our stuff? Elizabeth, or James. James, do you want to start?
No, I would just say that the will designates really everything. It's kind of a catch-all. So you may have contracts in place like a life insurance policy or retirement benefits, but a will really catches everything. So any other property that you have outside of maybe something that passes by contract like retirement benefits or life insurance, the will catch all those additional assets for you.
Okay, and Elizabeth, there are other things too.
Sure. As James points out, even items like personal property are covered, you know, jewelry, automobiles, that kind of thing, where maybe, like jewelry, there's not necessarily a title to that. So you want to make sure that all of your stuff, if you will, is passed to who you want it to go to. But the other thing that I think is really important is designating, in Florida, we call it a personal representative. In other states, it's an executor or administrator.
Okay, but so they're not different. An executor
they're not
is
different.
The same.
It's the same. Yeah, in Florida, okay. Our legal term for that is a personal representative, and that's the fiduciary who administers your estate and makes sure that everything is done in accordance with the law and with your intentions. And you definitely want to make sure that you name who that person is, because with all of this stuff, the default is your next of kin. And the default is never going to be your same sex. Well, not never. When we win our lawsuits, it will be. But at least for the moment, it's not your same-sex married spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever. It's always going to be your legally wedded spouse and then your children and then your parents and then your siblings. And so.
Okay, so it gets a little confusing. So if I lived in Massachusetts and I were married to a woman, would that be my next of kin in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Okay, so we're okay, but in Florida, we're saying it's still not your next of kin.
Correct, because Florida has law specifically on point, both a statute and constitutional amendment, which we're challenging, stating that your marriage can only be between a man and a woman here in Florida, at least for the moment. So that's why your Massachusetts marriage wouldn't be recognized here for those purposes. But of course, if you lived in Massachusetts, it would be.
Okay. James, tell us about the living or revocable living trust and why is that necessary?
Okay. Revocable living trust, I think, can be really an important part of your planning because, first of all, revocable living trust will actually capture all your assets and have it pass without probate directly to your to the person that you want to receive those assets. So in the way I look at it is that's really kind of ironclad, where a will can be contested because it's a public document at the courthouse and it's not private. A revocable living trust is private and it passes directly to your beneficiary. And that can be an important component to really anyone's planning because, number one, it's private and it's less likely to be challenged. So where a will can be challenged, a revocable living trust typically cannot, and it passes very quick. So many people look at a revocable living trust as being an inexpensive and a fast way to get assets to the person that you're looking to actually receive your property.
Okay, so that can't be contested, this living trust?
The revocable living trust, for the most part, is almost ironclad. It's something that is very unlikely to be contested.
We're speaking about estate planning for non-traditional couples today on Topical Currents. And we're going to ask you to join in if you're in a non-traditional partnership or marriage, if you have questions regarding estate planning for our experts, if you're in a same-sex marriage, what do you need to do to protect yourself living in Florida? You can call us at 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. You can email us at radio@WLRN.org. That's radio@WLRN.org. We're speaking with attorney Elizabeth Schwartz, and James Peppelman is a certified financial planner at PNC Wealth Management. We're going to take a short break on Topical Currents, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you, and we're visiting with attorney and LGBT advocate Elizabeth Schwartz. Also, James Peppelman is a financial planner and senior vice president and wealth director of PNC Wealth Management in Palm Beach County. If you have questions about estate planning issues or the like, our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. This is for non-traditional couples or partners. You can email us radio@WLRN.org. I wanted to ask Elizabeth, what is a durable power of attorney? Does that include the authority to make health decisions, or does that require a designation as a healthcare surrogate?
Yes. Okay. The latter. Okay. A durable power of attorney is really for financial purposes. It's what gives the power to someone to do really everything for you short of vote and make a new will. It's a pretty serious document, and the durable part means it survives your incapacity. It is typically not used in Florida for healthcare purposes. As you well point out, there is a designation of healthcare surrogate, and that is the document that folks want to have in place to state who they would want to have access to them and be able to make decisions for them in the event that they're in the hospital and not able to communicate for themselves.
Now, if a couple is, let's say a gay or lesbian couple does not have one of those, and one of the couple is incapacitated, then who will make those decisions if they don't have that healthcare surrogate designation?
Well, it'll fall usually to, I mean, if they have an adult child, or else it will fall to their parents, or also will fall to their brother or sister. You know, it goes in line, in order. There's an order next of kin, and it will not include your lifetime partner. So we've had crazy situations with couples where they've been with their partner for decades and didn't have any documentation in place, and the estranged family swoops in from elsewhere and, you know, exercises their legal right to make medical decisions. So it's scary stuff we're talking about here.
Yeah, so it's crucial that these things be in order. Really? I mean, it is for everybody, but certainly
absolutely
in these situations.
Absolutely. And even once we do get marriage equality, which we should in the next year or so, it's still going to be important, because, of course, you want to name not only your significant other, if you are so blessed to have one, but also any alternates. So God forbid you guys get in an accident together, you want to make sure you've got a backup plan. Especially if you've got kids, you want to make sure you name who the guardian of the child or children would be in the event of your death. So, I mean, there are still lots of reasons to have these in place, even once we do see marriage equality. And of course, there are the issues of portability. If you have a relationship that's recognized and then you go across state lines and it isn't, you can't rely on those rights that you had in association with that recognized relationship, because across the border,
right,
you're legal strangers to one another, as we continue to be here in Florida for the moment.
So you still need all these documents in place.
Absolutely.
And what about the living will? I mean, that is so important. How does that work? Does that work hand in hand, really, with the appointment of the healthcare surrogate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The living will is the document which says that if you should be in a terminal condition, that you wouldn't want heroic measures and you would want to be, you know, as we colloquially say, unplugged. And of course, it's always a document that is used in consultation with the healthcare provider and is very important for everyone to have. And again, this is gay and straight, really married and unmarried. I mean, we all remember here in Florida that really horrible Terri Schiavo case.
Right.
And that was a case where her husband was fighting with her parents, and all she didn't have there was a living will to say what her wishes were, so everyone was trying to guess it. And so it's not a big deal to get these documents in place, and they're really, I think, affordable, and it's not too taxing time-wise to put them in place, so there's really no reason not to do it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. It's not, is this something people can do online as well if they need to? Sorry.
You know, no. I mean, I think there are lots of great resources online to educate folks about these issues, to learn about the issues. But the problem is when you do these various sort of Office Depot, LegalZoom kind of things, they're really not Florida compliant documents. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this work for 17 years, as have many of my colleagues who practice in this area. And so our documents are living and breathing documents that change with the feedback that we get from our clients and friends who go through these situations.
Right.
And you don't have that same kind of customized level of documentation, nor, of course, do you have that assurance that they are in compliance with Florida law. I mean, for example, the powers of attorney, there was a statute that was enacted a few years ago, so we had to overhaul our power of attorney forms. I see people walk in with them all the time that they get online, and it's like, oh, well, this is not worth the paper that it's written on because it's not in compliance.
Wow, so they're not even going to be recognized.
Correct.
Okay. So that's very good advice. We do have an emailer, Henry. What if I were married in a state that recognizes same-sex couples and I have assets in a state that does not? Can either of you answer that?
So I guess I'm not sure what he's asking. Like, is he mean in terms of what happens in the event of divorce or death? Or he's just saying, what if I have
assets in estate? I guess he's saying in terms of estate planning.
Yeah, then he needs to have an estate plan in place because, right, if you're married in Vermont and you live in Florida, that Vermont marriage will not be recognized for the purpose of passing that Florida situs property to your spouse. That's what we're talking about.
Okay. And we're going to get to some calls, but first I want to ask, James, your list of estate planning essentials includes retirement benefits information.
Yep.
Are same-sex couples still denied federal benefits and protections?
Not necessarily. That's actually something that's still being integrated into the system. So, for instance, you know, obviously here in Florida, one of the things that people are looking at is Florida does not recognize marriage here, same-sex marriage in the state. But if someone from Pennsylvania comes down and is in Florida, certain federal agencies are recognizing that, but some aren't. So Social Security isn't there just yet. And so some of those programs are actually so I guess there's really two issues with same-sex marriages. It's number one, where they're actually married and where that resides, and then where the individuals actually live. And so sometimes these decisions are based on where people live, or it could be where they've actually been married, and then kind of how that affects the federal governance of those benefits.
Okay. Did you want to add something, Elizabeth, to that?
No, he's got it right. That's it. It's really, there's all these 1,138 federal benefits. There are, each of them is doled out based on one of two tests, whether it's whether the marriage is valid where you live or whether it's valid where you entered into it. Each of them is different. We could go benefit by benefit and we'd be here all day, but James is absolutely right. Social Security, for the moment, is still only a benefit that's available to folks who are in marriages that are valid where those folks live.
Where they're living.
And there are other benefits like immigration, some military benefits, you know, IRS, that they only care if your marriage was valid where you entered into it.
Okay. Let's take some calls. Juan Carlos in Miami has a question regarding a will. Hi, Juan Carlos. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. My question is, my mother has a friend who has a late stage, and she...
Could you say that again? You cut out.
Excuse me?
You cut out just now.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. My mother has a friend who has a late stage of cancer, and she has a partner, but they're not married in Florida. She wanted to give her property and all her assets to her partner, who is not even married in any state. And Florida definitely doesn't recognize same-sex marriages. So I will also, and like, they wanted me to like sort of like draft a will. And I know there's a Florida statute that has self-execution will. There's only one person that is going to be given to. So, like, how do you go about that? Like, to just give all your property to one person. There's no other people who would contest the will anyway. Not that I know of, and not that my mom knows of. Like, my mother's a public notary, so she can do the self-execution will.
Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 Juan Carlos. Bad idea. No, you should not be drafting a will, Juan Carlos. If this partner of your mom's is anxious to make sure her property passes, she should do a will that's properly executed. That Florida has very strict execution requirements for a will. There's a whole lot that goes into it. And if this is something that really matters to her, she ought to get it done right. And make sure that the will is executed in compliance with Florida law. And the easiest way to do that is to go to a lawyer who actually does this work.
Okay. Even if it's just one person who the property would be transferred to?
Yes, yes. All the more reason, because, I mean, what you just said is that your mom, who's the intended beneficiary, is also going to be the notary. Mm. Yikes. I mean,
No.
Oh, sorry.
My mother's not an interested party.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Oh, I see. She's the friend wants to give to her partner. Gotcha. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still
my friend who has like someone there. So she would. My mother would actually be a witness, and she's not interested.
Okay.
And
well,
then,
so she needs the will needs two witnesses and then a notary. So there's three people.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting a simple will is not expensive for a lawyer to do, and it's not the kind of thing that you should be dabbling in, because these wills get thrown out all the time, even if it's just the one person. It still has to be approved by a court and be admitted into probate, and so it's not a lot to get it done right, and you really you ought to do it right.
Okay, yes. Thanks, Juan Carlos.
Thank you.
Okay.
The only concern was that she has late stage cancer. She was in the hospital, so
okay, it can be done. It's not rocket science. A lot of lawyers work by a lot of lawyers work by phone, email, PDF. I go to hospitals all the time, I always call it deathbed estate planning. Unfortunately, I hate to be morbid, but a lot of times that's when people think of these things. So. I'm happy to make recommendations of folks to you. It doesn't have to be me. I mean, there are a lot of folks who are really great, compassionate, competent estate planning attorneys in town who can help you out.
Well, if I can get your email or contact information, that would be great, too.
You know, the only other thing I would add is just one call. Just make sure that if she does have any life insurance or 401k plans or retirement plans, that the beneficiary information is up to date and it's accurate, because the... Those contracts will supersede the will.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Juan Carlos. Okay, and we just want to let you know that we're just giving you general information today, and, we're not doing specific advice, and you'd still want to talk to your attorney or your healthcare professional or whomever you need to talk to.
Indeed, thank you.
Okay, and do we need to take a break, Paul? Okay. The number, again, we're going to get more calls, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. Let's talk to Rick in Miami. Rick, go ahead. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Excellent program. I've enjoyed listening. I just wanted to ask, I believe Mr. Peppelman is his name.
Peppelman.
I've been a trust and estates lawyer for 35 years. I'm wondering where he ever got the idea that a revocable trust either could not be contested or was not likely to be contested or was in any way ironclad. It's absolutely not the case, at least in my experience.
Okay, James?
Yeah, no, pretty much what we've talked about is that they're less likely to be contested.
I would disagree with that also. I think they're equally likely to be contested, and suits are filed every day, as Elizabeth can tell you.
Absolutely. We were sort of talking about that offline here.
It is no... In fact, in many ways, it's not as safe as a will, because the rules are different. But another day, another conversation. But I did want to make... I did want to make sure the people listening didn't ever get that impression, because they come to see me all the time with a lot of ideas about what revocable trusts do and what they don't do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rick, for that clarification.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's talk to Jay in Pompano Beach. Another question about trust versus will. Wills. Go ahead, Jay. Welcome.
Hello, Elizabeth and James and Bonnie. Your voice is fantastic, even during your announcement messages. Phenomenal voice.
And she's gorgeous, too, by the way.
Okay. On the revocable living trust, is that more expensive than a will, generally speaking?
Well, generally speaking, yeah, it is quite a bit more drafting. There's usually more that goes into it in terms of provisions and terms. So it's most lawyers kind of base our fees on how much time it takes us to do stuff. And so wills are a bit more straightforward, shorter, simpler. Yeah.
Okay. And one more quick question. I'm living in Florida for a long time in Broward County. If I relocate back to New England, WBUR, will that, with my Florida will, hold, or do I have to do a new one up in New England?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking. Yes, your Florida will, if executed in compliance with Florida law, should be recognized back up in New England. We for the most part, take a look at a will and say, well, if it was executed validly when and where it was executed according to the law of that place, then the 50 states will regard that as a valid will. I will, however, add a little parenthetical that I would recommend that you do whatever local version of the advanced directives there are. So the living will and the healthcare surrogate or healthcare proxy or healthcare power of attorney, whatever it's called there, because even though there's no reason it shouldn't be recognized, a lot of times you get healthcare providers who are kind of looking sideways at your Florida designation of healthcare surrogate and saying, I don't know what the heck that is. We use something different up here. So you do might want to just get the local version, whatever is in compliance with that local law of those advanced directives.
Okay, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Great show.
Okay, thank you so much, Jay.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, if you're in a non-traditional partnership or marriage, if you have questions regarding estate planning, you can call us at 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. If you're in a same-sex marriage, what do you need to do to protect yourself living in a state that does not recognize it, like Florida? So I'll ask either of you, if you get married out of state and you're now in a same-sex marriage in Florida, do you change your employment status to married? James?
Actually, I have not come across that just yet. That is probably something that I guess it really depends on terms of how they start to integrate some of the policies, because we have a lot of snowbirds down here, and if people are moving down here and taking residence here, that is probably something we'll be looking at. I don't know if Elizabeth has anything on that.
Yeah, it's you raise a really critical gap in what we have by way of protections, because we have no federal employment protections for folks based on sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. We don't have any statewide protections in employment. We have some protections in different municipalities throughout the state of Florida. We're fortunate enough to have a human rights ordinance here in Dade County. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it is still perfectly safe and legal for many employers to fire many same-sex couple, you know, or a gay person. So what we are absolutely seeing are folks who are going and getting married and then coming home and getting fired. And so this is a terribly difficult situation. And of course, today we are lamenting the Supreme Court's issuance of this Hobby Lobby opinion, which is quite possibly going to open the door for quite a bit of sexual orientation discrimination, mm-hmm, under the guise of religious liberty. So it's a fantastic point that you elucidate, because it also highlights the fact that when we are when we have achieved nationwide marriage equality, which we will soon, our work is not yet done, and we still have a lot of protection still to achieve for our community.
Well, speaking of that, this case, one of the cases that you filed, I guess there were six couples that are suing for to overturn Florida's same-sex marriage ban. Are you free to talk about this at this point, like where it stands?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for asking. Yeah, there are, to my knowledge, there are six cases that are pending throughout the state of Florida that are challenging our marriage ban in a variety of different ways. Some, like our case, our right to marry cases, seeking the right to marry. Others are recognition cases, seeking recognition of out-of-state marriages. Our case was brought by the lead legal organization, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, in association with the fantastic law firm of Carlton Fields, Jordan Burt, also Mary Meeks, and I make up the legal team. And our organizational plaintiff is Equality Florida Institute, our statewide gay rights organization. And the case is proceeding apace. We have a motion for summary judgment hearing on Wednesday afternoon.
What does that mean?
Well, we're asking the court to say that there is no genuine issue of material fact here, that these bans are absolutely blatantly discriminatory, which they are, and they are unconstitutional, which they are. And we're asking the court to issue declaratory and injunctive relief and allow marriage licenses to be issued to same-sex couples.
Now, when do you think this is, or do you think this is going to go to the Supreme Court? Last Wednesday, Steve Rothaus posted a link to an AP story in the MiamiHerald.com that appeals court ruling in Denver pushes gay marriage closer to Supreme Court. And also we had rulings in Utah and Indiana last week. I think it was last week. So when do you think this is going to make it?
This is the crystal ball part of the program, right?
Okay.
Well, first of all, I have to give a shout out to Steve Rothaus, who just keeps our community so informed on LGBT issues, and he's such a treasure. And yes, we got an amazing decision last week, the first appellate decision since the Windsor decision came out last June, and that was out of the 10th Circuit. That was also a National Center for Lesbian Rights case, and it was a really great opinion, and I do think that maybe the Supreme Court is going to take that case up, and if it does, it would hear it, you know, in the fall and decide it in the summer. So we might be celebrating a quote unquote 50-state solution, meaning nationwide marriage equality, meaning the Supreme Court following up Windsor, saying, you know, whereas Windsor said there cannot be a federal ban against marriage equality, I think a subsequent case that we could get as early as a year from now would follow it up with the necessary, you know, corollary saying that there could not be any state bans against marriage equality, and then that would solve it for the entire country, and we wouldn't have to be going case by case. Right now we've got some 80 cases pending in every state in which there is not yet marriage equality, so we're sort of doing this tedious state by state route, and hopefully the Supreme Court will give us the gift either in summer 2015 or 2016 of nationwide marriage equality.
James, since Florida doesn't recognize same-sex marriages, how does that affect the filing of federal tax returns? Do you file as a married, if you're married, can you still file as a married couple if you live in a state that doesn't recognize it?
Yes, you can. So it does, but you obviously have to be married in a state that actually recognizes the marriage.
Right.
So you can.
I'm sorry. Can you? I think I might have misheard what you just said. Can you say that again?
So in Florida, while they in terms of tax returns, whether or not you can actually file. So if you're married in a state like Pennsylvania that allows for that, you will then be able to file a married tax return there. But if you're in Florida, you cannot. Is that right?
I wanted to ask you to repeat that because I didn't want to be contrarian, but I'm sorry, you're wrong. the IRS last year, it was like August 30th, right after Windsor, just before Labor Day, issued its clarification of they did have a de facto rule, the IRS, that your marriage was only valid. They were only recognizing your marriage if it was valid where you live. But they changed that so that the IRS will allow you to, well, I don't want to say allow, because it's also require you. You are required to file joint tax returns if you are married anywhere. I mean, if you are married validly anywhere. So if you had a commitment ceremony in your backyard in Florida, you are not legally married. But if you entered into a legal marriage anywhere, you you do file taxes jointly. Maybe what you might be thinking about is, and this does get really confusing, thank gosh, in Florida, we don't have a state income tax or state estate tax, so it makes it easier for us. But our colleagues in other states where there is state income tax have a messy tax season ahead, because they have to do really two tax returns. One for, I think in some cases, three or four they have to do as married and unmarried state for state tax purposes, and then married and unmarried for federal tax purposes, and kind of add them up and divide by four. It's a mess. But yes, there are several states that do have state income tax, and they do have to file taxes individually as an unmarried couple for state purposes. But regardless of where you live, if you are in a legally valid marriage, you must file taxes jointly.
Okay.
No matter where you live.
Yes. No matter where you live, you must file federal taxes jointly.
What about a binational couple where one of the partners is awaiting green card status?
So what about, you mean for tax purposes?
They're legally married.
Yes.
But they're binational and one of them does not yet have his green card. But they've been married legally in another state.
Well, their marriage is recognized, for immigration benefits. Immigration looks at where your marriage was entered into, and so does the tax authority. So,
okay.
So yeah, so that is a valid marriage, even if you're married in Canada or another country. And that is one of the great victories of Windsor that we've enjoyed very much down here in South Florida, is seeing all the wonderful binational couples who've been able to legitimize their relationships under the law and achieve immigration benefits as a result.
Okay. We're speaking with Elizabeth Schwartz. She specializes in estate planning and probate, and she served as pro bono counsel in several cases that helped to overturn Florida's ban forbidding gays and lesbians from adopting children. James Peppelman is a financial planner and wealth management director at PNC. Wealth Management in Palm Beach County. And our number, 1-800-743-9576, if you have a question. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're speaking about estate planning for non-traditional couples and LGBT couples. We're speaking with Elizabeth Schwartz of Elizabeth Schwartz PA in South Beach, an attorney and advocate for the LGBT community, and she focuses her practice on estate planning, probate, and currently serving as a pro bono counsel on one of the pending cases challenging Florida's same-sex marriage ban. James Peppelman, certified financial planner, senior vice president and wealth director of PNC Wealth Management in Palm Beach County. Do you have websites, Elizabeth, first?
Yes, thank you. My website is sobelaw.com. I practice is on South Beach, so it is sobelaw.com, S as in Sam, O, B as in boy, ELAW.com. Thanks for asking.
Okay, and James?
Yes, we have a website at PNC.com, and you can go in there, and there's actually tabs that go under wealth management that you can look for different questions and answers.
Okay, great. We're talking so much today about estate planning for non-traditional couples. I'm wondering about the complexities of divorce or separation. For example, if a same-sex couple gets married in New York but wants to get divorced in Florida where the marriage isn't recognized, what does that entail?
Well, that's a tough question right now, Bonnie, because it's a bit unsettled. We have had judges who are very comfortable to grant these uncontested divorces because they don't see the granting of a divorce as a quote-unquote recognition, as an impermissible recognition of the marriage. There are other judges who don't feel comfortable doing that, who do think that granting a divorce is a recognition. I think it's unconstitutional to deprive a same-sex couple of access to the courts and to deprive them of the opportunity to get out of their relationship. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that issue. But I will just say that there are better and worse jurisdictions in which to get married. So you mentioned New York. New York is a state where if you get married there and you want to get divorced, you've got to move back and establish residency for a year.
Oh.
So, yeah, not cute. So D.C. is better. D.C. doesn't have a residency requirement for divorce. Vermont, if you don't have kids, Vermont will allow you to file for divorce. Even if you don't live there, you don't have to move back, establish residency. Same with Delaware, Minnesota, Hawaii, California, Canada. I think that's everything.
What would you recommend that partners or married couples do to avoid, through estate planning, prepare for a potential breakup? You know, what can they do things in their estate plan?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm doing a lot of prenups right now and postnuptial agreements. Prenuptial and postnuptial agreements are critical to have in place. And even if a couple... You know, there are lots of reasons not to get married. I mean, go see your accountant and run the numbers before you get married. You might be surprised. This marriage penalty we've been hearing about is a very real thing. So we do, living together agreements, domestic partnership agreements for couples, which is really important. I mean, if I go ahead and put my wife on my home that I've owned for a long time, that's a gift of my equity in the home. So if I want to get half of that equity back, if we should break up or sell it, then I need to have an agreement, because absent an agreement to the contrary, putting her on the deed is a gift. So mm-hmm. there's lots of things to worry about with regard to splitting up, and there are plenty of documents you can put in place to anticipate that, and it doesn't have to be as unromantic as it sounds.
and actually I would add to that these living together documents are actually a good thing, because many times when you're first entering into a relationship, it's good to have those put in place early on, because the relationship tends to be very amicable and people get along and it's a good time. And if you can kind of agree up front what the rules are in case something does happen down the road, it's always easier at the end if for some reason you do decide to part.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good idea. Okay, Sandy in Miami, welcome. You're on
Good afternoon.
Topical Currents. Hi.
Hi. I know that you said durable power of attorney is in reference to financial, but what's the difference between healthcare surrogate and living will? Do you need both, or
yes,
does one suffice?
Yes. No, you need both, although in my healthcare surrogate, I also put living will language, but a living will is only effective when you're terminal. So that's end of life. A healthcare surrogate is effective really any time you can't communicate for yourself.
Oh.
So they do work hand in hand.
Okay, and five wishes then goes more hand in hand with living will, because it's
absolutely
recognized.
Yeah, and those are wonderful. Thank you for bringing those up. The five wishes are wonderful and does supplement the living will with more detailed wishes.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Sandy.
Bye. What are five wishes?
It's sort of like a very sweet, more expanded end of life kind of explication. It's a little bit more about what you would want to have happen at the very end, and a bit more detailed, and supplements a living will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You were involved in successfully overturning Florida's ban forbidding gays and lesbians from adopting children. So if a child is adopted by a same-sex married couple, are they entitled to the same benefits in Florida as they would be in a state that recognizes gay marriage?
Yeah, Florida in 2010 prevailed over Anita Bryant from 1977, and our adoption ban was repealed. There's still of course, the ban still exists on the books, but it has been declared unconstitutional. There's a bit of a workaround that's required, because the law does say that only a married couple can adopt jointly. So we do have we call it sequential adoption. There is a bit of a workaround to accomplish those adoptions. But yes, gay people can adopt pretty much just like straight people in Florida, and we've done many hundreds of them, and they're going really well. And I will just say that marriage really doesn't have anything to do with adoption in this particular context, though, because if I get together with somebody and we get married and then she has a child, I still need to do an adoption. I still need to do a second parent adoption of that child, because I need an adoption judgment that would be given full faith and credit in anywhere in the world. If we just get married and she puts me on the birth certificate, that's a presumption, of parentage, but it's a rebuttable presumption under the law, so you still need to follow it up
with a second parent adoption.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to Ron. We're kind of close to the end of the program.
Talk fast, Ron.
Yeah. Ron in Miami. Hi, welcome.
Hi there, Elizabeth. You know me. She helped me put my estate together and helped me adopt my child.
Oh, hey, Ron.
How are you?
Good, honey. How are you?
Question for you. I'm curious, how do couples who have gotten married in other states file for bankruptcy? And if only one partner wants to file, how does that affect the other partner here in Florida?
Gosh, you know, that's a great question, and I would send you to a bankruptcy lawyer, so send me an email.
Right?
Well, that's just, you know, my practice, that just extends beyond my practice, I don't think that the bankruptcy of one would affect the other at the moment, because I still think that your marriage would not be recognized, you know, here for that purpose. But I'm a big believer, as you know, that you do what you do and you don't do what you don't do. And I don't do bankruptcy. So I would definitely send you to one of my fantastic, competent colleagues who does do that.
James, do you have any input on this or?
No, I think that's exactly right. What she explained.
Okay. All right, Ron, Ron is gone. A lot of what we're talking about applies to everybody. Everybody should be, you know, thinking about this kind of estate planning and durable power of attorney and healthcare surrogate and living will and...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is, you know, that's why in some ways every time you said like same-sex couple or married couple, I'm sort of cringing a little bit because this is,
it's
everybody and it's anyone whose intentions are anything other than what the default of the law is. So, you know, and this is important enough to get it right. There are lots of great affordable attorneys out there who are happy to work with you, who have an expansive view of what family is. So it's important to get this done and done right.
Okay, well, we want to thank you very much for being with us. Elizabeth Schwartz of Elizabeth Schwartz, PA in South Beach, is an attorney and advocate for the LGBT community, and she focuses on estate. Put your headset back on.
Oh, I already took my headphones off.
Go ahead.
He's hurt. Yeah, I do estate planning, probate, family formation, adoption, insemination, surrogacy, and divorce.
And also, she is serving as pro bono counsel on one of the pending cases challenging Florida's same-sex marriage ban.
Fingers
James
crossed.
Peppelman is certified financial planner, senior vice president, and wealth director of PNC Wealth Management in Palm Beach County. Again, and he was formerly with PNC Bank in Pennsylvania. Again, your websites?
SoBeLaw.com.
SoBeLaw.com. And James?
And PNC.com.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you all for being with us, and we hope you got some great information today. Thanks so much. That is our program, and we thank you so much for spending your time with us. Our producer is Richard Ives with technical direction from our online producer, Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org, and more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. That's facebook.com/topicalcurrents. On tomorrow's Topical Currents, we visit with educator and author Peggy McDonald. She's written about the life and times of a scientist and an early champion of Florida's environment, Marjorie Harris Carr. And Bonnie Berman, thanking you again, sending best wishes to Joseph Cooper, hoping your day is a great one. Please stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.